Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan, Donnie Football, and Bob Pompeiani. Joe Starkey with a scheduled day off. Austin Bechtold behind the glass. Do you guys know what Starkey's up to today, or is it just because I know he's working on Thanksgiving, I think. He's back from
Buffalo.
The college visits.
Yeah, and he went to visit his mom and dad.
Oh, okay.
It's Thanksgiving in Buffalo today.
Yes. Oh, that's
nice. A day earlier. By the way, call him Artemi.
Artemi now?
Yeah, because
I can't keep up
Bread
with all these nicknames.
He is a man, so Bread
Artemi
Man,
Panarin.
Artemi Panarin. We may as well give him all these names. I believe it's
Come on,
Austin.
Bob.
It's Austin.
Thank you.
It should be Austin.
I like to go. I try to keep it to Austin. Sometimes I'll throw limits out there as my shorthand.
Fine with both.
But I'm not going to call him... what's the one you hate? Mr. P?
Mr. P. Bread Man.
Austin P.
The Bread Man's a really good caller that usually calls into the station.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I remember him.
Remember Bread Man? I don't know what happened to him. He hasn't called in a while.
I hope he's doing all right. Sometimes I get worried. You ever get worried about that? Like people who call lot and then you're like,
you know,
oh, man.
Oh, Donnie, we know one specifically that used to call us all the time.
That is true.
There are a few like that, and you wonder where they go, and I assume not. You know, something's bad happened.
Yeah.
You know? So hopefully that's not the case with some of these guys. Keep calling.
Yeah, I mean you've been doing this for quite a while. I mean, I don't want to age you, Pomp. You're a legend, you've had to have had so many over the years doing this, doing the sports call where it's like, "Oh man, this guy used to call all the time. I haven't heard from him in like 2 years."
Yeah, there are a couple, and I found out one of them did pass away, which was sad because he used to call all the time. You know, Chuck in Uniontown, I always look forward to him calling, especially during baseball season.
Oh, yeah, he's always a given.
Yeah, a couple times he's called, and I go to him, and he's asleep. You can hear him snoring. And I said,
sometimes the team does that to him.
Or maybe we do it to him. I don't know. It could be that, too. But, no, it's always good to talk to people. I love that. I think it's fun. People, you know, you have a call-in platform. Sometimes people want to vent. Yesterday we had a vent, didn't we? Joe and who was the guy who called Joe and was was on a Narduzzi topic. Remember that?
Oh, was it Mike?
I forget who, but they got into it pretty good.
Oh, Jim and Jefferson.
Jim and Jefferson, that's it.
Well, I mean, speaking of Pat Narduzzi, not that I had this on the docket today, but with North Carolina firing
Mac Brown,
and Pony put it out there that they have the same amount of wins. Pitt and North Carolina have the same amount of wins since Mac Brown was hired at North Carolina. They both have 44. And we've seen the direction that Pitt football has gone. What started out as everybody was elated, they were 7-0. I think we anticipated, okay, a loss or two here, like SMU, Clemson on the schedule, but still, like, such a great bounce back from last season. And I give Joe credit, because we had a discussion about this about a month ago, but I did not anticipate a complete pitfall happening here. And there's a real chance that Pitt just ends up being 7-6. Now, that's still an upgrade from how ugly last season was, but, man, that would be tough to swallow after the start that they had.
Yeah, and that's how I would frame it. Regardless of what happened last year, 7-0. But then, again, there were clues here along the way. Donnie, there were clues, no question. You know, they should have lost to West Virginia. They should have lost to Cincinnati. They came back, give them credit. But those could have been two losses. I also think the way they were playing raised questions about whether they can handle good offensive teams. I didn't think their defense, and I still think their defense has been a problem in terms of big plays allowed. SMU just pretty much exposed them. And people say, well, Pitt was injured. So was SMU. They were playing without their leading receiver at the time. Mm-hmm. They had a couple other guys out. The loss that really, to me, was unacceptable was Virginia the week after that. You can't lose to that team at home, given the fact you still had one loss and you were still having opportunities in the ACC. So it almost seems like we should never have had the conversation that Pitt was in a playoff position when they were 7-0. Kid, we were, you know, fantasizing about Pitt and Penn State.
All jinxed them, Bob. Yeah. We all jinxed them, every single one of us.
Not Penn State. They've, you know, it's really weird how it goes. People want to get on Franklin for those reasons, that they can't beat those signature teams, and that is a problem. But he beats everyone else that he's supposed to beat, and they're always in this picture. They're rated very highly in this college football playoff. They're going to get a home playoff game. Now, to me, their season will still be really analyzed and predicated on what they do in that playoff. If they lose and lose badly at home, that wipes out everything to me.
Fan text line, that's brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. You can hit us up on there at 412-928-9370. You can also give us a call at 412-928-9370. You can also leave us a voice message now using the Odyssey app. We had a lot of fun reactions following the Steelers' loss to the Browns. I do want to get back into that college football discussion later, a college basketball topic later on this hour too. But I do want to jump in back into something that we asked Brian Batko about a little bit ago, Bob. The question as to whether the Steelers should re-sign Russell Wilson. Diana Russini from The Athletics, she suggested that Wilson will be back in Pittsburgh. Jerry Dulac, longtime Steelers insider in his mailbag, said that the Steelers would likely sign Wilson for double what they would be willing to pay for Justin Fields. Somebody posed the question, what if it was Fields for $20 million or Wilson for $40 million? And he said Wilson, straight up. So then, you know, that got the speculation going. Would it be $40 million? Pony threw out the numbers, 3 years, $120 million yesterday. But are there better options out there? That's where I think the big question lies. And I actually don't really know if there is. And the other thing here is that $40 million sounds like a ton of money, and you're going to hear $40 million for Russell Wilson. They'd be crazy to do that. But it's not as scary as it once was. He would be in the middle of the pack in terms of QB salaries. Like $40 million a year, that's what Matt Stafford makes. He's the 15th highest paid quarterback. And I think Stafford right now, a little bit better than Russell Wilson, but they're on a similar level. And when it comes to their career arc and their pedigree, I think it's all pretty similar.
Yes, but you know, again, we're dealing with aging quarterbacks here. And listen, I'm not going to try to take anything away from Russell Wilson, who just turned 36, I think. He'll be 37 next year, midseason. We saw what happened with, and not every quarterback's like this. Tom Brady wasn't. He's the exception to it. But most of these guys, when they get toward 40, things start to change a little bit. So, to me, if you're going to do it, it has to be a shorter term. Would he be willing to take shorter term? Because you don't want to get into the 40-year-old range with a guy you're still paying $40 million to. At least I wouldn't. So these are all things that come into play. Quarterback is always the most important position, which means if you're not in a position to draft one high enough in the round, in the first round, which they seem never to be unless you trade up and make something happen that way. So what are you going to do moving forward? You know, they've wrestled with this decision ever since Ben Roethlisberger retired. Different people brought in, different expectations, they change. I like Russell Wilson. I don't know if I like him 3 years.
I would want it to be like a 2 years max type of thing. They could probably make it three, like on paper it would say three, but you know how they can work things now where it's front loaded or there's a lot of guaranteed money at the beginning and they can make that third year basically.
Or you
a
can
wash.
Make it four and just spread it all down the load, you know, how kick money down the road because the salary cap keeps going higher. You want to make it longer term to spread it out? Okay, I suppose. But I don't know if I want to go in that direction totally. It would depend on what he wants and if it makes sense for the franchise.
How would you answer the question that was posed to Jerry if it was $20 million a year for Justin Fields or $40 million a year for Russell Wilson?
Well, I always have said here that I like the youth factor here with Fields and the fact that he has a lot of experience. Do they believe he can turn into the kind of pocket passer much like kind of like Lamar Jackson has turned into. You know, at first it was all legs, legs, legs. He has now turned into a threat both ways. Mm-hmm. And it takes some time. It's not easy. Can he do that? I don't know that he can do it. I see him bailing too much in favor of his legs. Sometimes you have to stay in there a little bit longer. You have to make things, you know, step up, not with the idea of running, but to separate yourself from edge rushers. I don't know. I mean, I'd be more inclined to go Justin Fields longer term just because of his age. I think shorter term, I like Russell Wilson. So how you navigate through those financial waters, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, I am on board with taking a shot with Justin Fields. And again, we have no idea really what the financials would look like. But just in that hypothetical question, I think I would favor on your side with the youth. Russell Wilson right now, certainly a better quarterback than what Justin Fields is. So you're taking a risk on can Fields become anything. But if he would, and if he would do so under that price tag, you're going to get him at a bargain. Because there's not a whole lot of guys that are over that, or I guess that I would say under that, around that range, that are really any good. Now, a handful of them are rookies, but the guys that are under $20 million, out of all of them, the only one that is playing way up to his level that's not on a rookie deal is Sam Darnold. He got the $10 million deal.
But look what he's had to go through to get there.
Yeah. I mean, he's gone through, you know, he's been chewed up and spit out by teams all across the league. Is that Mike Tomlin, Bob?
No.
No. But otherwise, it could fall into the range where guys like Geno Smith are at $25 million, but like Gardner Minshew, $12.5 million, and you know he's never going to be more than just like a steady backup, maybe a bridge type guy. Darnold for $10 million, and then it's just a drop off of guys who are either very very old, already career backups, or on their rookie deals. But then I question when it comes down to Wilson. And let's say he would slide right into that spot where Matt Stafford is, right at the $40 million mark. How many of the 15 guys are better than Russell Wilson? Most of them are, and I would take most of the guys over Russell Wilson, but there are actually a few that are just making big bucks that are not playing up to it. Like Trevor Lawrence is making $55 million a year, and if I'm Jacksonville, if I'm a Jags fan, I'm very worried about how that's playing out. Because he was one of those boy wonders that is not playing nearly to the capabilities we thought.
But here's the problem when you have one of those guys. You draft him, you expect it. Now you have to, in order to compete and win Super Bowls, there have been exceptions to this, Donnie, but you normally have to have a franchise quarterback who's going to get it done. Those guys are in the driver's seat when it comes to negotiations. And regardless of what the market says, you want to keep them longer term just because you believe that's the person we've been looking for forever. So you're going to be willing to give $300 million contracts, even if there has been no playoff test yet or no playoff success yet. But you know that you need it, so you do it. That's why you see guys signing big-time deals really before they've had any kind of success. It used to be you have to show me you can do this, then we'll pay you. No, not more. Now it's, okay, you're in a rookie deal. I have another year to figure this out. I'm going to pay you now because I need you. I can't afford to let you go, even if you're not totally sure. So, you know, I mean, at some point, the Steelers, it may not be this year, next year, but at some point, they're going to have to figure out another quarterback here. That's why I say if I'm going to make a choice, I'd rather err on the side of youth and try to and figure out a way to get him at that level. That, look, C.J. Stroud has taken a step backwards this year based on what he did last year. Conversely, Bryce Young looked as good as I've ever seen him last week against Kansas City. Some, you know, you never know the timeline of how some of these guys will develop or don't develop.
By the way, think about the bargain deals that it looks like for Buffalo and Kansas City at this point. Allen, $43 million per year, and Mahomes, $45 million
per year. That's going to change quickly.
There are so many guys. There's a dozen guys higher than
them.
Well,
they forced the market to react.
Yeah.
And the market reacted and corrected itself and went higher. So now the next time they're up, and I don't know when Mahomes is up, but if they should be, you know, they're 10-1, and they haven't been as impressive as a 10-1 team.
Well, so Mahomes has that deal, and I don't know if they're going to rework this or anything, but his goes all the way through, like, 2032. He signed, like, that super long deal.
Exactly, but there are outs in there, too. I've read enough to know that there are ways, and he's going to, you know, not that he would hold up, but if he did, what would they do?
I would bow down and pay.
Yeah, well, how
pay
much?
Whatever that guy wants.
What would it be? It's going to have to be over $50 million a year or more. If he's making, what is he making? 43.
Yeah, well, I mean, well,
$60 million.
Dak Prescott's at 60 right now.
$70 million. Let's get an auctioneer here. 80 million, 90 million. It won't stop.
Here's another thought I had with Russell Wilson, is that I think they could handle it better than what they handled the end of Roethlisberger's tenure with, because there were always those discussions of, you know, how would Ben take it if the Steelers drafted a quarterback in his last few years? We know about his relationship or lack thereof with Mason Rudolph, and we knew that if they were going to draft a quarterback, it was going to have to be some dude in the, you know, last couple of rounds that didn't pose a true threat to him. So they kind of sat around and waited on that, where you think back to 2020, they probably could have drafted Jalen Hurts in the second round. They passed on that. Or maybe they could have drafted Jordan Love, who knows, in that draft. I think what they could do, I'm not saying do it in this draft, because based on what the draft Knicks have already said, it's not a very strong quarterback class. But let's say that they do re-sign Russell Wilson to a three-year deal, and they can get out of it after the second year. And let's say in the 26th draft or something, they see a quarterback in the first round they really like, and he can kind of actually sit and wait for a season. Because so many times these guys are thrown into the fire, and Tom Brady brought this up. There are so many young guys that get thrown right in, and that's why a lot of them get spit right back out.
Well, look at the Chicago example.
Yeah.
For multiple quarterbacks.
Sometimes it works, but sometimes it crushes their career.
It won't help them if you constantly change coaches. And that's what's happened in Chicago. Different beliefs, different systems. I think it hurt Trubisky a little bit, although he was more to blame, I think, for his performance, because he did have one good year. But after that, with Justin Fields, again, not sure what the system is. I think there was confusion in his head. And now, I don't know what to think. Caleb Williams, is he the real deal or not? From what you've seen, I don't know the answer to that.
He has his moments where you say wow, but then, you know, he'll fall back into, which is why I'm excited about watching him on Thursday. Like, that's a national TV game, and he's playing against the best in the league. I think Detroit's the best team in football right now, and who would have thought we'd been saying that years ago? I went through so many years as a kid where I just saw the Lions get destroyed on Thanksgiving, and now here we are. They're the best team. I think it makes Thanksgiving better, for the record. I love when the Lions are actually good or competitive.
If you want, like, an example of a trade that benefits two teams, it's that Stafford for Goff trade. Because Stafford brought credibility at that position. Not that Goff didn't, but Goff was somehow fading in there, needed a new start. He goes to Detroit. But to give Stafford there, they wanted a whole bunch in return. They got two number one picks, turned out to be Gibbs and Williams as the wide receiver and the running back. Those guys have been huge for them, not to mention other picks, and I'm not sure where they all fan. You know, and Goff has regained his spot as an elite quarterback, I think. So, man, that was a good trade for both. Rams win a Super Bowl, and now Detroit could.
Now I want to transition to George Pickens with the stuff that he had last week, which didn't really bother me all that much. I'll just say that. I know that on the last play of the game, it didn't look all that good, that he was preoccupied on a Hail Mary. You know, he said what he said about the Browns after, and he said, well, they're not really a good team. They benefited from the conditions, whereas everybody else that fortunately stepped up for the Steelers and spoke after the game, they said, well, both teams had to play in it. You know, it didn't play a factor. They went about it with a more mature route. But when it comes to him, he has a likely payday coming around the corner here. And I feel like we find ourselves asking this question every time there's a little episode with him, that is he somebody, he's going to be in that $30 million a year range as a receiver. And I just think given the way that he's played, he's going to demand that and probably deserve that. But do we think the Steelers will be the team that signs that check for him?
I do. I think the talent will trump everything here and they need it. But you know, this, he has to understand there are certain times. Like, I'm bothered by two things. The comments afterwards bother me, but that's just because I'm old school. I don't want to hear that. They just beat you, and you're telling them they're not a very good team. No, not good. No, the weather. And the weather was the same for everybody, so that doesn't make any sense to me. But what bothered me more is how on that play, the final play of the game, he got completely encumbered with this, whatever they were doing in the end zone there.
Yeah.
And he was not
with
in
Greg
a position.
Newsom.
Yeah, I mean, Newsom, it looked to me like had his head being in a chokehold from George Pickens. When you look at the whole thing, both of them were – Pickens' job at that point is to make himself available, isn't he, to high point a ball to do it. He was being driven, and he seemed to be more interested in that, what was going on, than the actual play. The other thing about that Hail Mary that I didn't understand, and I'm not an expert in Hail Marys. You tell me what you think. It's a low percentage thing anyway.
Yeah.
We got people saying should have been. No, there is no pass interference on. I've never seen it called. If so, I don't remember.
That's rare.
They
it
don't call
rare.
It unless it's so bad. But there should be somebody in front of the pile, you know, just in case that ball's batted forward or down, and you may be able to react to it and catch it. I don't know. But it just seemed like there was not a specific plan other than there were I didn't see many Steelers in position to make the catch is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, like it
and he
like,
should have been one of them. He should be the number one man because he has the ability to go up with those strong hands and high point a ball.
It looked like when you watch the play back that like nobody ever had a shot at it.
No.
That was also the only time I noticed in his 19 ghost snaps in the game that I saw Mike Williams on the field. That guy's, they traded for that guy to just get some cardio in. You were talking to me about the gym earlier. That's basically what he's doing. He's just out there running around.
That's a big enigma now to me, is what is he supposed to do? He claims, listening to his post game, that he's up to speed on everything. Well, if he's up to speed on everything, why is he never targeted after being one target for a touchdown that won a game?
Yeah, that game in Washington was like a storybook ending,
yeah.
And we're thinking, oh, sweet, like we're going to get more of this guy coming along. He played 25 and then 19 of the quietest snaps I've ever seen a guy play.
I predict for you this week he'll have at least five targets.
Five targets?
At least. That's what I think.
That's a juicy one, Palm.
At least I think. I mean, that's my point of
yeah.
He has to be – they've had how much day, 10 days off here, 8 day, whatever it is.
Yeah,
if ever there was a time to get him more up to speed, that would be it for me. I think, this is just me talking, if I were doing this offense, I would target him real quickly in this game, and I would get him involved in this game. Five targets is not all that much anyway. I mean,
no.
But he should have at least that, wouldn't you?
I would think for someone that you traded for to be what we thought was your
number
second receiver.
Right.
Yeah. I feel like they got to target Freiermuth more.
Him too. He had five targets, I think, in the last game.
Because I'll credit him for his efficiency. Like, he hasn't had a ton of catches this season, but normally when the ball's thrown in his direction, it's a completed pass. Something good is happening.
And I would like to see him scheme more deeper in the middle of the field. You know, just We saw a couple of those last year where he was, you know, 15 yards down the field making a catch. And, you know, he's big enough where he can make some extra yards. Those are things that I still we haven't seen a lot of yet, and we need to see more of it.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Dana Carvey and David Spade here.
You might know our podcast, Fly on the Wall, featuring guests from across the entertainment industry.
We decided to do a spinoff called Superfly, and it's fun. It's just two of us riffing on current events, pop culture, catching up, impressions.
Joe, Trump's trying to be a dictator.
Yeah, it's bump on the tater tots.
Joe, no.
Listen to and follow Superfly on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Fan Hotline, that's presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We will have Mo Egger from Cincinnati on that hotline around 1:20 today to talk Steelers and Bengals. Bob Pompeiani, Donnie Football with you. Joe Starkey up to Buffalo to visit some family for Thanksgiving. I believe he'll be back for Thanksgiving. I think he'll do 10 to noon on Thursday, because we will have all three of the NFL games right here on 93.7 The Fan. Bob, what do you think of the office antics pulled by our guy Pony in the back? We're supposed to get lunch today on Tuesdays, and he's back there telling people, yeah, they're not coming Thanksgiving week. They're not coming in. Charlie told me. We see Charlie come in. Charlie's filling in for me today. He's producing for Pony and Chris from 2 to 6. I said, Charlie, is it true? Are we not getting Salem's in here today? He goes, no, they're going to be here.
He was strategically trying to be first in line by deflecting
that might have been
this.
What he was doing. But see, we're going to see it first.
Yeah, but he may know when it's coming. If he knows that much information, then if he's trying to throw you off, he knows exactly the start time, he'll be first in line. He may want the food before anyone else touches it. Maybe that's a strategy. Have you known Pony to be like this?
Well, he is always good for like a little ruse like that for sure. But I also know he's not one to know the exact time when the food's coming in.
Because I don't know
normally
about
I'm
that.
The one
he's
that has
one
to tell
of the
him.
Most prepared people I know. If anything, he probably called them, had the exact time. I bet you if you ask him, he'll know exactly what time they'll be here because he's prepared.
He better help them open the door because that line starts to build. Before that office email ever even gets sent out, you're gonna have people in here you've never seen before in line.
Bob, you would not imagine, you would not believe the amount of people that flock.
Oh, I know.
And immediately, it's like 30 seconds, 20 people appear
Austin,
in line.
I've worked in a newsroom for 43 years. You don't think I know what vultures are? And I'm one of them.
They're like dogs
that.
On raw meat.
It's unbelievable.
Bob, the food is right outside the studio, and sometimes we're like 30th to get it, to even get the food, and we see it right
no,
in front
Cook
of us.
Used
we're
to
being
just
tempted.
Leave. Ron Cook used to put the headphones down, go out, get his food, come back, and then whoever's with him, you know, continues the conversation.
Oh, Joe, that was good. You should get some. Bob, over the weekend, and going on this week, which I do think is a cool part of college basketball. We see a lot of the tip-off tournaments. There's the Maui Invitational. That's like that to me is the most notable tip-off tournament that college basketball has. But it's fun because it also allows us to watch basketball pretty much all day. Like what's the one that Penn State's in? Austin, they played Fordham yesterday.
I can't remember specifically where
it
is.
Fordham pretty handily.
Yeah, like they all have like weird like goofy names, but they're all like the same premise. Like one will be in like Myrtle Beach. One is actually down in Fort Myers. Maybe Ron was there.
They're playing Clemson in Daytona Beach today.
Okay, Daytona Beach is one of them. So Pitt played the Greenbrier tip-off down in West Virginia. They were in there with Wisconsin, LSU, Central Florida. And aside from the games where, you know, Pitt beat LSU on Friday, then they lose to Wisconsin, they blow a lead on Sunday and lose that game. And I'm sure that you have ventured to the Greenbrier on numerous occasions in your illustrious career.
Well, I've been there, but my preference is always Nemacolin. It's closer and I like it better.
But that seemed like a mess of a tournament. Like it was a place, they have it in the hotel ballroom, which I understand on paper it's like a cool idea. Like, hey, we could pull off having this. It just seemed like they were not ready for it. Like the shot clock.
Well, the attendance was like only 1,000 too, so they couldn't fit all that many people in there.
Yeah, you couldn't fit many people in there. The lights were flickering on and off during play. There was a point, and I don't know if this is on the location or what happened, but the matchup with Wisconsin, I was tuning in and out because, you know, there were NFL games on that day. And the end of the game, a lot of people missed because the broadcast just like cut out. It was on CBS Sports Network. So hopefully if you were listening, to it here on The Fan, because I don't think that one cut out. It just like cut off. And I saw people posting on social media like, oh, here's all I can see on CBS Sports Network. It's just like basically a still shot of the logos and the little Greenbrier tip-off logo.
Well, I think the one thing you have to know, and you know this, everything is about money. And the Greenbrier wanted to get involved. They set it up. They made it possible. There were sponsors of money. So if you're a team that wants to play one of these, and this is made possible to you with everything that it comes with, you play in it. I don't like ballrooms. I do like them to dance. I mean, but not for basketball. I think, you know, we've put them on airplane carriers. Where else do they put them? They should be in gyms. I don't care if it's a high school gym. The Maui Classic, for example, Maui is a good one because it's in that same
place.
That's
always a good one to watch.
And it's a legitimate gymnasium. You know, but money will tell you, they'll do what it takes to get the money. And if they're willing to sponsor a tournament and make it profitable for people to go there, then they're going to do it.
I think it is kind of similar to the aircraft carrier thing. Like, it's one of those ideas on paper, it's awesome. But then there are just things that can't be pulled off. Like, the issues that they would have with the aircraft ones is that the court would get like all like dewy, like it would just have like condensation.
Well, you're out in the middle of wherever you are or near water, and then you're gonna get
like
that.
I can remember like Ohio State and Marquette probably 10 plus years ago now, they were supposed to play in one of those games and they never even started the game because they could not like wipe the floor enough. Right. Like they could not get
it's
the
dangerous.
Floor dry. Pitt and Gonzaga, didn't they play in one of those and they had to cut the game off at halftime?
The
Pitt,
slippery floor.
I think Pitt even had a lead, or they were like very much in the game.
Right.
And they just had to end it. So like, as cool as those things are on paper, and I'm not saying I don't support them, it's just sometimes when they're put into practice, it kind of falls flat. But that being said, all in all, I do like all the tip-off tournament stuff.
Because it gives us
Yeah, it gives us like all day of basketball.
And you get games that are better than some of the non-conference games you get on site. You know, you get bigger programs, more, you know, blue bloods going against one another. The Maui Invitational is always filled with some of the best teams in college basketball, and I like that. It's a little preamble to what you might expect during, you know, the end of the year heading into the NCAA tournament. So I'm all for that. I really think Pitt's going to have an interesting and good team, although they had an injury yesterday to Dunn, who had that wrist or hand surgery or whatever.
Yeah, I don't like that one.
No, but they have some really talented guards. And here comes the, look at this. To your point, the Vultures.
It's no sooner that
this thing was put in, and it's still not even open. Look what Kale's doing. He's going in very, very quickly. The people with the delivery are not even done putting it out. Kale's already ripping off the top of the – what is he ripping off over there? It looks like rice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they always do load up on the rice, which it is good.
I mean, it's unbelievable. It didn't take much time whatsoever. The odds-on favorite, by the way, was not him to be first in line. I know who was. The betting odds were not on Kale Burger, but look what he's doing. He's beating everyone. Where's Pony? Pony is the one who tried to throw everyone off.
Yeah, he got to get down the hall or else it's going to get bad quick.
Kale just told me that he's trying to help out.
No, he's not.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
He's trying to help. That's what he's doing.
I was trying to find, while I was scrolling there, because I pulled up the college basketball schedule, Duquesne's in action right now. It says it's live. They're playing Old Dominion, but I didn't see it on the guide.
Well, they got to grab a win. Yeah, they need a win badly.
I thought that was a pretty exciting hire when they brought in Drew Joyce. I think a lot of people kind of were counting on that they would shoot for the stars and pull in Bronny James, but then he decided to just ride LeBron's coattails and get to the NBA. But man,
yeah. I don't know.
0-6 after such an exciting season last year. It is
the first year on the job, so I'm gonna, you got to be patient here. But it's not a good start so far for Drew Joyce. But they have time to figure it out. You're gonna have to figure it out if you're gonna use LeBron. Like Keith Dambrot did, he may have to use him more in terms of money, figuring out contacts to give you money. That's a tough sell in any university with NIL money. You have to come up with some of it somewhere.
50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge on Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Bob, before we let you run, I do want to talk a little bit of Penguins with you because I know you always like touching on that. On my sheet, I just wrote for this little segment, Penguins equal disaster. That's what they are right now. The team stinks. They're borderline unwatchable. I mean, I can understand people wanting to watch them for Sidney Crosby. He gets goal number 600 the other night. They lost to a team that doesn't have a name by a score of 6-1. So as cool as that moment was, That was almost like a microcosm, I feel, of how their season is going so far. Like, you get something cool from one of the big three, usually Sidney Crosby, and the Pens lose. It's almost turning into, if you remember this, when it was both Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout with the Angels, you would see, like, all these records, like weird, obscure individual game records that those guys break. Like Shohei Ohtani, the first player to do this, this, and this. The Angels lose 8-3 in Oakland. Like that's what it's starting to feel like to me with this.
Yeah, and it goes to show you that you need more than just the superstars. If you have Trout and Shohei on the same team, which they have, not to mention other guys they poured money into, but it just didn't work. There wasn't enough there to support those guys. And I think the Penguins made a choice. The Fenway Sports Group decided to retain Malkin and Letang when they were done at the end of a contract. They could have walked away, and yes, you wouldn't have gotten anything for them, but you would have saved a lot of money, which you could have allocated in different directions. They chose not to do that. I thought maybe a plan would have been keep, obviously Crosby here and support him with younger players, in free agency and beyond, and try to, enhance their rebuild, if you want to call it that, or something quicker. Instead, they doubled down on what they thought they could. And I know they need ticket sales. They know they need gate attraction. Sidney Crosby, not a good sign that he was going for 600 three different times at home and the crowds were not sellouts. I mean, that's to me, something you'd want to go see. And he finally got it on a night they get their butts kicked. That doesn't, it was a somber locker room after that game. So, they're kind of stuck. They need to fix their system, bring in more talent, but they also have dug themselves quite a hole here, one that you can't dig out of because you have a lot of guys who make a lot of money and have no trade clauses. Dubas has his share of this too. Graves so far does not look like a good contract. Signing Jari longer term, I didn't expect this. I thought he'd be better than this.
Yeah.
They need him to be better. They better keep playing him until he gets better, I guess. But even Carlson, why would you have brought Carlson in at that price tag for two more years they owe him, knowing that if this doesn't work, man, you got a lot of guys with a lot of big price tags. All very talented, but it just doesn't seem to work.
It's to a lesser degree, obviously, because one is the NFL, one's the NHL, where I'm going to make this comparison. And I wouldn't say that Carlson plays the most important position on the field, but to a degree, like a move of that caliber, it almost feels like what the Jets did pulling in Aaron Rodgers. It's like they make this huge acquisition. The entire fan base pumped. I mean, I remember when it happened. It was the middle of summer. Almost two years ago now. Middle of summer, the Pens make that move, and I'm thinking, all right, like they're, you know, maybe get back to the glory days here a little bit. Try to catch lightning in a bottle in the last couple of years of, you know, the Crosby, Malkin, Letang run. And it's just fallen so flat. Like, it's been a disaster.
Yeah, and if, you know, a guy like Carlson, they also tried to get rid of some bad contracts that they had by getting San Jose to take them in exchange for this. But Carlson, throughout his career, has been a very good offensive player, but defensively, very much a liability, I think. And I say that respectfully because he is a very talented guy, but he's just not the same on the defensive end.
We kind of knew like what he lacked
but
defensively.
You also
had made up for
players like that. They needed something opposite of that, and they didn't go out and get it. They thought maybe Ryan Graves could be that guy, but he hasn't been.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.